Good morning. We're calling together, calling to order this Wednesday, January 27, 2016 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Atera Taylor, who's at the controls for the hearing today. Some general information about the hearing today. The order of presentation, the applicant and or project sponsor will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. More about that in just a second. The applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there is any opposition to the project, then the project sponsor will be provided a three-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public, and at the end may close the public hearing, take the matter under advisement, or may indicate a decision today at the hearing, or may continue to a future date. There are two items on the consent calendar today. These are items that are considered routine. If anyone would like to speak on one of the items, please step forward. Otherwise, those two items would be granted. There's general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda. Now, the criteria for justifying a variance under Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final till a decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, it may take up to 2 months after the date of this hearing to issue a decision letter. If anyone would like to have a copy of that decision letter, please sign in on the sign-in sheets on the far wall. That's very important because the decision letter carries with it the appeal period. It can be appealed within 10 days of the issuance of the decision letter to the Board of Appeals. And no decision is final until the decision letter is issued. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during a hearing. While we do encourage parties to discuss the project, we ask that that be done outside of the hearing room so as to avoid disrupting others. The next variance is scheduled for February 24th, 2016. Audio recordings of these hearings are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. We can move on to the calendar. We do have a couple housekeeping items, and we have four items that are proposed for continuance. Ms. Taylor, you can read that.
So there, as mentioned, there are four items to be continued. Item number three, case number 2014.1473V, 311 Grove Street. This will be continued to February 24 variance hearing. Item number seven, that would be case number 2015-0082-96VAR. This will be continued on April 27, also on our variance hearing. Then item number 10, case number 2015-002243VAR. This will be, DR has been filed. It will be continued in a joint meeting hearing with our Planning Commission. And also item number 15, case number 2008.0410V, this will be also continued with joint hearing with our Planning Commission.
Is there any public comment on the continuance of these four items? And it would just be to the continuance. To clarify, item number three, that's being continued 1 month to the next regular variance hearing. That is due to the fact that the environmental review was not completed, and we cannot have a hearing on that item. Item number seven has been continued, or was requesting continuance to April 27th, regular variance hearing. The project sponsor has recently obtained legal counsel and is requesting that continuance to allow them time to confer with their new legal counsel. And on items number 10 for 1615 Grant Avenue, also known as 1226 Middle Place, and 799 Castor Street, item number 15. Discretionary reviews were filed for both of those projects, and so we will have joint hearings with the Planning Commission on the discretionary review matters. We do not have hearing dates yet, so we will not be continuing those to a date certain. We will renotice for the variance. Any public comment on the continuance of these four items? That's item number 7. So that is proposed for continuance to February 27th.
No, April.
Sorry, April 27th, yes. Yeah. So seeing no public comment on that question, we'll continue item number 3 to February 24th, item number 7, 26th Street, to April 27th, and items number 10 for 1615 Grant Avenue, and item number 15 for 799 Castro, no specific date, but to have a joint hearing with the Planning Commission, and we can move on to the consent calendar.
There are two items in our consent calendar. Item number one, case number 2014-003157 VAR, 1598 Bay Street, rear yard modification, open space, and exposure variances sought. Item number two, case number 2015-009249 VAR, 833 to 855 Cortland Avenue, rear yard variance sought.
Is there anyone who would like to speak on either of these two items? If so, please step forward. Otherwise, both items, the requested rear yard modification and variances for Bay Street and the requested rear yard variance for Cortland would be granted. So if there is no public comment. Seeing no public comment, closing public hearing, and inclined to grant the requested rear yard modification, open space, and exposure variance for 1598 Bay Street, and the rear yard variance for 833 to 855 Cortland Avenue, and we can move on to the regular calendar.
Item number 3, as mentioned earlier, has been continued to February 24 variance hearing. So moving to item number 4, case number 2015-004617 VAR. 22 Moore Place, rear yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor here? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. I'm Daniel Robinson. I'm here on behalf of the owners of 22 Moore Place. I'm from McCracken Architects, and I wanted to start with a quick overview of the project and where we're up to with the current drawings. The project converts an existing full lot coverage garage to a three-story single-family dwelling. We are seeking rear yard variance for a number of reasons, which I'll go into in just a moment. First, I wanted to consider some of the requirements for the general plan that we apply to or adhere to, and that's due to the change of the use. The building itself is, the structure will be re-engineered, and the existing building, which we intend to keep underneath the two stories of residential, will be retained. This building will be retrofitted to the new standards, new code standards, which promotes the public welfare, safety and public welfare. The project adds to the city's housing stock because there's currently an existing garage there which has no housing, and we're creating a single-family unit. The retail use is not affected because RH3 does not allow for retail use. Affordable housing supply is unaffected because this neither removes or adds to that supply. And in addition to this, the project will provide one and possibly two off-street parking spaces. The reason that there's some discrepancy there is we are considering different options for the first floor use. And lastly, there's no historic, we did an HRE for the project, and there is no historic value to the existing property. The variance request that we're asking for is the rear yard variance. One, the main reason is that there's currently an existing building which is full lot coverage. Many other properties in the neighborhood have full lot coverage on the first floor, and so we would propose taking the open space and the rear yard variance starting on the roof of the existing garage rather than at grade level. So looking at the plan, which I put up on the viewer, unfortunately, I didn't realize that we'd be in black and white, but I can give that to you for your review. We've shown the different heights of different buildings throughout this block. The proposed site is here. It is one of only two one-story buildings in the entire block, and it's a full lot coverage. It's a substandard lot, which is 20 foot by 60 feet, and that is the main reason that we're asking for the variance at the rear yard. It's just we don't have, if we went with the averaging system of taking the two buildings next door and averaging where our rear yard setback would be, we'd be at about 19 feet. And so we're asking, in addition to the first floor full lot coverage, a 15-foot reduction, which is the minimum allowed by planning for the second and third floors. We also have, looking at the project site itself, we have a very large building to the north, which is a six-story building, which almost has full lot coverage. It has a rear yard setback of 14 foot 9 inches. And against that building, on the other side, on the southern side, there is a building there which has a larger rear yard setback. But we've worked with RDT so that the point at which our building would come by their building, we've reduced by 3 feet at the property line by pulling that 3 foot line further to the north. A significant concern that we've found in the neighborhood outreach is the covering of property line windows on the northern building. This is a six-story building, and there are six windows under the 40-foot line and one door. We want to make it clear that in this variance, we are the way that the planning code works within the bounds of the planning code, we would be covering five of those windows. The variance that we're seeking and the rear yard going to 15 feet would add an additional window to that count, but that's the only difference between a non-variance and a variance granting. It's also important to notice that when originally the owner of 22 Moore and 2330 Larkin was the same owner, and at the point at which they broke the properties apart and sold the Larkin Street property, there was an easement that basically waived any rights to the windows below 40 feet in the future. And that's important because as we ask for this variance and we consider taking that six property line window, we want to be sure that that it's clear that the decision to allow or to for the owner of the building next door to allow that to happen has already passed. Looks like my time is up. I'm available for comment afterwards, and also the owners themselves are here too if there's any questions that you want to pose to them.
Thank you. So just a few questions. The ground floor, it's existing, it's non-complying, you're seeking to change the use, I understand, requesting the variance at that level. And at the first story, the floor above that, you're seeking to do a 15-foot rear yard, which, as you noted, is about 4 feet less than what the code would require. At the floor above that, it generally is conforming. It looks to be, it's about a 20-foot setback from the rear yard at that level, but you do have stairs that are within that area, and seems to be that would be the element in part that's triggering the variance. And so can you kind of explain a bit more why you're seeking variance at the first and second stories? I mean, this is a single family home. There is, you have an existing condition that you're working with. I can understand that at the ground level, but why can't you provide code compliance at upper levels?
The code compliance at upper levels, I think we could, but we would. We've determined that pushing back to the average, the 19-foot line, really creates a significant hardship on making this into a two-bedroom home versus a one-bedroom or a one-plus-bedroom home. We're able to get two bedrooms now with one room, which we're calling an office, because it's not really acceptable enough for a decent-sized bedroom. So while 4 feet may not sound like much, it significantly changes the dynamics of the process or project, especially because the size of the lot is so small. Specifically, the width of the lot is a problem, but then that kind of telegraphs into the depth of the lot at 60 feet. We're finding that to create a single-family home, and really a modest kind of compact single-family home, is very difficult within the constraints of that site, mainly because of the depth and the width of it.
Okay. And then the sixth window that would be blocked, you said that is due to the variance or subject to the variance. At what level is that window located?
It's the third level. It's the highest up. In fact, I have a graphic if you'd like me to show it. Highest up and furthest to the east.
That would be helpful.
So in this, we're looking, we've got window number one, window number two, and then there's a window here, and this grayed area is what we consider the area that we're asking, that would be granted with a variance, but would not be granted without one.
So then, at that level, it is, on the floor plans, it is set back, I think it's close to 20 feet, it seems. Is it just the spiral staircase and the firewall from the spiral staircase that's blocking that window? Is that what it translates to?
So here we have the spiral staircase that you're talking about. This is 6 feet back, and the window kind of falls on the back line of the property here. So The grid line number three is where the window would start, and you'd be looking directly onto the face of the spiral staircase.
Okay, thank you. And then do you know what, I mean, that window, would? Do you know, you don't know the neighbor's layout, but I mean, do you know what it may look into? Or what?
We don't know exactly. We haven't been granted access, but from the placement of the southern windows and both the eastern and western windows, I don't think it's really possible to have. They appear to be to the same room. And so from what we can determine, they're not used for egress windows. They're not used for light to a room which doesn't otherwise have a window, but either facing east or facing west.
Their window faces their rear yard?
On that sixth window, correct.
Okay. But in addition to that, as you mentioned, this was previously under one ownership. There has been an easement recorded which says that there is to be no right to those windows below 40 feet.
Below 40 feet, correct.
Okay. All right, thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you.
Well, let's see if there's any public comment on this item for 22 Moore Place. So whoever would like to speak first, go on for it.
I have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Yes. Hello, my name is Juliana Gum. I'm here with my sister and my nephew. Our family has owned 20 Moore Place for decades. Moore Place has always been known to have a certain charm in it in spite of this huge apartment building, which is actually 7 stories as indicated on the plans, not 6 stories. And I wanted to thank the city staff for sending us the notice of the hearing and also the permit application. I just wanted to first note that there's some discrepancies on the application notice and also when one compares it to the notice of public hearing. According to the application notice, the proposed project would alter the facade and include a vertical addition. The filled-in boxes on the application says the building height will change from 13 feet 11 inches to 35 feet 6 inches, but the project description text says the structure will have a maximum height of 38 feet 4 inches. The text also says the project will require variances for the rear yard setback, which is 15 feet, where 19 feet is required, and the height, 38 feet, where 30 feet is permitted in the last 10 feet of the building at the third floor. So there's a discrepancy, and I'd like to know what the real height is. The notice of public hearing says the case type is a variance for the rear yard. There is no mention about the height variance. Can someone explain why not? On page 7 of the plans, the 7 pages of the plans are not accurate. There's a note 15 on all the proposed elevation sheets that say that the existing property line non-egress window are to be filled. And there's actually one south-facing window on that 2330 Larkin Street shown on sheet 2.4. There's many other south-facing windows on the property line that are not shown under a plan, including a door for egress accessing the current roof of the existing garage. So there's an obvious omission on the plans, and I think there should be notes indicating the disposition of those windows and the door. Our property, 20 Moore Place, has 2 bedrooms and a bathroom with windows that face east and north, respectively. I'm really concerned about the change in lighting to these rooms with the proposed project because of the massive height and depth of this project. there would be a feeling of claustrophobia and living in a cave at 20 Moore Place if these variances are approved. The natural sunlight and bedroom window views will not be maintained. The natural light in the afternoon will no doubt decrease, and the north and northeast views will be totally gone. Our mature trees in the backyard will probably die. I suspect that the existing one-story garage at 22 Moore might have been originally intended to keep some open space when the seven-story building was originally built. I understand that property owners have a right to improve the properties, but it should be done within the planning code standards and adhere to the city's housing plan priorities. The neighborhood character and standard of living in terms of sunlight, open space, equity need to be preserved and maintained. These variances should not be approved, and the project needs to be scaled back accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you. So you're the owner of that adjacent property to the north, and are you aware of the easement that exists on the property?
It's the property to the south.
So you're the property to the south?
Yes.
Side. Okay, thank you.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
And do you have a list of all the, you mentioned a bunch of concerns about details on the plans. Can you submit that in writing?
Yes, I could do that.
Okay.
So who do I submit it to, the planner or to you?
You can just hand it over right now if you'd like, or you can email it separately to the planner.
Okay, I'll write it down and hand it in.
Okay.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you.
Next member of the public, please.
You also get 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Audrey Almaraz, and I am here on behalf of 2330 Larkin Street, the property that is being, the windows that are being talked about are on the property that I live in. And I only had a couple questions as far as we have a back door, which is what we access our trash can, and the trash is also taken out. We had a fire about a year ago, and that is what the firefighters used to get rid of the fire, which is what my concern is. And we also have a garage to the left of the property that our landlords rent out per month, and those people would not have access to their cars. That being said, the two windows that they're talking about, they're actually to a kitchen, and those people don't open those other windows because we face each other. So those are the only windows that you kind of have privacy towards, where you're not listening to every single thing that your neighbor is saying. Those are the only windows that those tenants actually open, and I have photos of that day after day. They do not open their two windows. They open that side window, and that window is what would be affected. I can submit some signatures from multiple people in my building, but we're very opposed to this. We're opposed to the noise. We're opposed to the safety of it all. And the day that the sign went up, we saw, I don't know if it was the owner or what, we saw somebody trying to take it down on the phone, angry, and then they tried to, like, put it back. And then they go and they write a nice note saying, you know, it's our dream to have this home, and that's great, but at the beginning they were trying to not let everyone know that this was going on. I just personally am pretty offended by the behavior that I saw. I was there. I'm home all day. I have a cat. I have anxiety. I don't think that this noise is going to be beneficial for anyone.
Thank you. So you're in the property to the north.
2330 Larkin.
Which is to the north with
yes.
The property line windows.
Yes. And I have pictures of my windows of what it looks like. I have pictures of the windows that they open. I have.
So the windows are operable on the property line?
Yes. It's to the kitchen. You won't have a way to ventilate your kitchen if those windows are covered up. And it's a studio. It's a one-room apartment. There's nothing else to do.
Under current building code requirements, the property line windows that are operable are not permitted. It's actually quite a fire hazard. So it sounds like that may be something that your property owner may want to address.
Well, Tina Meehan has a lot of problems with her tenants as well. That's another story. But, yes, we're very opposed to this.
And you said you saw someone tearing down the poster?
Oh, yeah. I believe it was one of these two men.
So you're saying that the property owner was tearing down the poster that they had put up on the property?
Totally.
But the poster remained up?
They took off one side, and then they called someone. I guess they calmed down, And then they put it back up. Then they put a nice sign saying they spoke to everyone when they didn't speak to anyone.
Okay. Well, I think I'll have a chance to rebut that. And then the concern about parking?
Yes. We have a garage to the left. It's another garage right next to it. It is rented out to other tenants that also don't live in the building. And we store our things there. But we store our cars, and there's no way to get in and out of...
How does the project do anything to impinge parking on your property?
With the construction and the cars.
It's a construction issue.
They're going to have to constantly be moving the construction out
It's something we have to deal with in the city. Okay. All right, thank you for your comments. Any other public comment on this item? On 22 more? So seeing none, project sponsor, you have a three-minute rebuttal.
I'll just come up quickly to discuss about the height variance of the first person who was speaking. I think the confusion here is in terms of the 30-foot limit at the back. The 30-foot limit at the back is if we use the averaging system between the two adjacent properties, then any height beyond 30 feet is should be taken back by 10 feet. Because we're not asking for that, we're asking for a variance on the entire rear of the property to 15 feet. That is not really relevant. The height allowed by planning code without a variance is 40 feet in this zoning district. So we are not actually asking for a variance of the height of the building in any way. It's just for the rear yard setback.
And hello, I'm Andrew Meyer. This is my brother Ben Meyer. We are the owners of 22 More Place. Just to give some background, this property has been in our family for decades as well. And it's been our desire for a long time to transform this garage into its highest and best use, which would be a single family home that we plan on enjoying for many years to come. You know, we're trying to be as sensitive and respectful in this process as we can, and we feel like we're building something that's modest that actually fits within the neighborhood character itself.
Just to respond to the comment about us taking down the sign, I've not seen this tenant before. We did not take down a sign. We came up about 5 days or a week after the signs were posted by our architect to come post a personal message giving our personal contact information in case anyone wanted to get in touch. No one has gotten in touch with us directly, none of the people that have talked today. We're still interested in speaking if there's compromise to be reached, but we absolutely did not take down the signs and would never consider doing something like that.
Thank you. So as part of this project, you would have done a pre-application outreach meeting, and
yes.
Did anyone attend that hearing?
We had there were a couple of people that came. I don't believe they're in the room, but we did have a pre-app where two people came. One tenant from 233 O'Larkin, and a woman representing the Russian Hill neighborhood group.
Okay. Yeah, we've also reached out to the property managers and the owner of 233 O'Larkin to discuss these plans. We've reached out to 60 Allen Street, which is close by, and we've honestly done our best to also reach out to other neighborhoods who may be affected.
What about the adjacent property to the south, who's here today with concerns?
We've not been able to talk to them. We talked to their neighbor, who also had plans that passed fairly recently, and our understanding was that they weren't living in the area, but we'll obviously be speaking with them in the near future to discuss their concerns.
What kind of efforts have you made to reach out to that neighbor to the south?
We didn't know their contact information. I suppose we could have dropped a letter at the door, but we haven't been able to do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
So maybe to clarify, one of the points raised by the speaker and I think was addressed by the project sponsor as well. So just first, you cannot obtain a height variance under the planning code. It's just not allowed. And so what the planning code does say, Section 134, in regards to rear yard requirement, when you're using the averaging provision, up to the last 10 feet gained beyond what you would normally have, which is the 45% requirement, is limited to 30 feet in height. So it's actually a rear yard requirement that is variable. It is not a height variance per se. So the public hearing aspect is over. Do you have a question?
I just have a question about your statement. Then why was it listed on the notice of building application as
So again, it is not a height variance. It is a rear yard variance, as I just explained. So we're not having a discussion with this, but it is correctly noticed. I think the notice was properly done for this. The height on the plans does match the height on the notice here. I see that the Section 311 neighborhood notification is currently underway. I think it expires early next month on February 4th. As I stated previously, I do see that a variance could be justified for the ground floor. It is adaptive reuse of an existing non-complying structure. For the floors above, they are seeking a quite modest variance there, but I would strongly encourage the project sponsor to discuss the project with their abutting property owners, noting that the Section 311 notice will expire shortly, and obviously it could be no compromise or resolution that addresses those concerns. It would likely be a discretionary review request. I will take the matter under advisement at this point. As I stated, I do see certainly a justification for the ground floor. Would like the project sponsors to discuss with the neighbors the variances that are sought at the other levels, and we'll take the matter under advisement until the end of the Section 311 neighborhood notification period and would issue a final decision after that time. If a discretionary review is filed, then we would have a subsequent joint hearing where the Planning Commission can consider the entirety of the project, as we typically do when there's a discretionary review filed on a variance. So with that, public hearing is closed, matter taken under advisement, and we can move on to the next
item. Moving to item number 5, case number 2014.1589V, 1955 to 1965 Oakdale Avenue, minimum lot width and area and rear yard setback variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Have an affidavit for you.
Okay.
Good morning. Jeremy Schaub with Gabriel Ng Architects, representing 1955 Oakdale, / 1965 Oakdale. The subject property is actually two parcels right now that were originally, back in 1867, started as three 25-foot wide lots. Over 100 years ago, in approximately 1913, the owners at that time merged the three lots and re-subdivided them into 37.5 foot wide lots, which was a little unusual at that time. Our proposal is to undo some of that and bring it back into a three parcel configuration, which would not meet the Planning Code minimum for lot frontage and lot area. One of the existing historic buildings, which was built in 1889, we would be reducing that lot size to 24.5 feet, so that would be 6 inches short of the required minimum. And the other existing building, which was built also in 1913 during the original subdivision, that building is off of the opposite property line by about 4.5 feet. So we would be trying to insert one more building and a new lot in between the two existing buildings, which is lot B pictured here. That remaining width between the two old buildings is 19.5 feet. So that is the lot size that we are pursuing with this variance. This is a rendering of the before and after, with our proposed new building in the middle, as well as an addition of a second floor above the 1889 construction building that's on the left. We also changed the color because we didn't really like that green. As you can see, there is also an historic cottage to the left of the historic cottage on our property, which is approximately the same date. That owner was at the pre-application meeting. He didn't bring up any concerns. In fact, he suggested that he may be pursuing something along those lines himself in the future. This is an exhibit to show some of the the adjacent lot area and widths. Our subject block is on the bottom left here. These are our three proposed parcels. The southeast corner, there are two parcels which also originally started as 25 feet wide, and now for some reason they're 24 and 26 feet wide, so there's a lot line adjustment, again a very minor one. There are also these four subject lots a block away on Oakdale, which must have started as three 25 foot wide lots, and now there are four lots in that same width, ranging from 17 to 19 feet wide. Here's a streetscape of the adjacent properties on our block, which, as you can see, most of the lots are 25 feet wide. There's, however, a church building from 1968, which is over its property line onto, I presume, a parking lot for that church. There are also a number of commercial buildings as well as a residential, so it's quite a mix of properties here. Here's across the street, which is pretty consistent, but that's because the lots are 200 feet wide or 100 feet wide. And here are the subject properties farther down Oakdale, which are 19 feet wide and also still three stories, which do fit into the neighborhood fairly well. And addressing the requested rear yard variance, because our cottage is over 120 years old, the preservation standards only allow for limited addition. We are requesting that with our permitted 12-foot extension on the ground floor, we have an additional 12-foot extension on the top floor, which is, again, just the second floor. Nearby, there are many parcels in this subject plot which have 100% lot coverage. We would still be allowing for 30% lot coverage with this design.
Thank you. So as you noted, the original configuration was as three lots, the three 25 foot wide lots. Then in the early 1900s, the property owner saw it was their choice to merge, reconfigure the lots, and basically build two larger homes on those lots. And now, I'm assuming it's not the same property owner or family, but they're seeking to densify, to build up to what the zoning would be allowed for the three lots. But in order to do that, they're needing to create that third lot, which doesn't meet planning code requirements. So that's where we are. And there's not too much of a pattern of that, though. I mean, I think you were able to show a few properties. Maybe there's a 24 here and a 26 there. Obviously, some cases where maybe buildings were built encroaching over a property line, and they need to adjust that property line for a foot here or there. Right. Now, the properties that you showed that were a block away, that were 17 to 19 feet wide, do you know any details about that? I mean, sometimes in the neighborhood I've seen where they have party wall construction, so you know they were subdivided out because of separate ownership, but they were built as one building with party walls.
I believe that they were. Forgive me for using Google Maps, but no, you can see that the parapet is uniform across, so they very likely were original builder.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if there's any public comment on this item. We're on item number 5 for 1955 to 1965 Oakdale Avenue.
Good morning. My name is Deborah Scales Reed. I'm the owner of 1983 Oakdale Avenue. My concern is two things. Number one, the idea of a three-story building bothers me. All these high rises is problematic for me, robbing us of our sunshine and so forth. Also, my other concern is parking. As the gentleman mentioned, there are businesses. Yes, there are several businesses. So during the daytime, all those parking across the street is taken up, and people who, like me, myself, who live in the neighborhood, we have difficulty finding parking there. And I made pictures, but of course I haven't had time to develop them. But on the upper end, as the gentleman mentioned, there's a church, and there's other older buildings built in the 1800s that are tall, as you can see the other house is, but they're old buildings. But those residents are parking on the sidewalk, which is a violation. And churches, as you know, they are prone to double park. You don't see too much of that in front, I guess because there's a bicycle lane. But the pictures that I show, that I have, the house that is the owner's house, they have one garage there. But along the side of the house, they have some five to six cars parked over there. So if you're going to build three-story building for two more families, how many cars are we talking about now? So will there be adequate parking for two more families? So as I say, I'm kind of concerned about the parking, and I don't like the idea of more high-rises. And there is another construction going on about three doors up the street that I never did see the notice on that. But again, right now, as far as I know of, it is a one-story built so far, but how tall is that building going to be? So again, that's going to impact the parking as well as as I say, another high rise. So parking is problematic there. Oakdale is a very busy street, and businesses are there, churches are there. So we have a lot of cars in that area, and already we've got issues with parking on sidewalk. Thank you.
So I understand the question or the concern about the parking and the concern about the height. And a part of the variance here is just to create a new lot that is substandard in terms of its size. And so you also have concerns about the density and adding the additional dwelling units. Okay, thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item and on item number five?
Yes.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
I'm the owner of the historic cottage to the south of Lot C, and I think I was referenced as having been at a meeting, and I wasn't there, so someone may have been misrepresenting me. I would also echo the concern about the parking. I've noticed there's lots of cars parked, currently stored on that center lot the proposed center lot. Curious about where all those cars will go once there's a building there. And also the rear variance. I'm not sure if that 11 feet 11 inches that we're talking about is past the depth of the existing structure, or we're only talking about 11 feet 11 inches of a second story that are being built above the current structure, but I would want to challenge that building being built another 11 feet 11 inches further back than it is. That would create quite a light obstruction to the whole rear of my house. And she mentioned the construction that's going on just to the south of me. That will also be a three-story building, and the plan that's being built there is different than the meeting I was originally in attendance to. So just concerns about the backyard light. If every resident has the expectation of the same depth of backyard, then I think that should continue until the city deems it necessary to change it for everyone if that's what the housing needs require. Thank you.
Thank you. So as an abutting property owner, there would have been a pre-application meeting that was done, so you should have received notice at some point in the not too distant past, and I think the project sponsor can give us the date of a meeting. So were you ever invited to a meeting with the project sponsor for the project?
We're talking about
the one here, the one that we're discussing.
Oh yeah, I got a notice about this one.
Okay.
The construction she referenced, the other building that she wasn't sure how high that was going to end up. That's probably not for this conversation.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
That was but this meeting. Oh. No, I don't think I ever received a notice about that meeting.
About the
yes, he referenced the owner of a historic cottage to the south having attended the meeting and having said that he intended to do a similar thing. I'm the owner of that cottage. I've lived there 6 years, and I never...
That wasn't you.
I wasn't at that meeting, and I didn't say that.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Item number five for 1955 to 1965 Oakdale. Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a three-minute rebuttal, and maybe as part of that you could also address in addition to the concern about the community outreach meeting, the how far exactly the building will go to the rear. But those can be questions that I can ask if you need to use your full 3 minutes for...
Sure. Our pre-application meeting was Saturday, October 11th of 2014, and Mr. Gavinon, have you signed in here? We met on the sidewalk in front of the house. Yeah. And I think they're also referencing a building that is farther to the south of us in 1947 Oakdale, which I believe is in DBI right now. The addendum has been submitted. That's unrelated to this project. To reference some of the other comments about parking, with our historic cottage, our original proposal was to raise the building and add a garage, which was found to be... it was found to not work with preservation standards, so we are unable to add vehicle parking to the existing garage. However, the infill lot will have two vehicle parking spaces, one for each unit. There is also the required bicycle parking in each building. As far as the rear yard variance that we are requesting, there is a little bump out on the southern wall of the existing cottage. We are going approximately 2 feet beyond that as part of the rear yard obstruction, and the variance would then also be that full depth on the second floor, but the ground floor is permitted. I believe I addressed those comments, so I would like to then go to the variance findings, because I didn't address that originally. And it's mainly related back to, as you said, Mr. Sanchez, about the original lot split, which happened in 1913 under different owners. When that happened, the original owners built the property at 1963 to 1965 with a side yard, which the house to the north of them has a smaller side yard as well. And they did not foresee that someone would want to build in the middle, which is now what we're proposing. There is also the possibility that we could have one complying lot width at the existing cottage and then make one lot that's 50 feet wide. That would allow us to have a three-unit building, which would be then only an addition of two dwelling units instead of three. And that would, while there are other three-unit buildings on that same block, it's further out of compliance with zoning as opposed to three two-unit buildings.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we obviously, and we do have a housing crisis in the city, and we're looking to develop and add new housing wherever possible, but also wherever appropriate. I mean, I think, you know, there really was a missed opportunity here 100 and something years ago. Had they maintained three separate lots, and had they not chosen to develop in a manner with two larger buildings, and now obviously trying to slip in, and I think you've done your best to have a design that blends into the neighborhood. But when I've been confronted with variances for similar requests for lot width and area in the past, do look to see whether or not there's a pattern of that. Most often we see them on through lots where there is an alley at the back, a through lot. There are many other lots that have been essentially broken in half, one that fronts on the alley, one that fronts on the front street. I mean, go into the Hayes Valley and you see that on all the alleys there. But what I don't see in this neighborhood is a pattern of smaller, narrower lots. I mean, there's the larger lots here are also themselves a bit out of the character. I mean, most of the lots here are 25 feet wide, but I guess kind of shoehorning in this development, while it does address housing and provides housing, it's in and of itself, it's not going to solve the housing crisis. And so I would have concerns about granting the variance, and would look at other, have you look at other alternatives that would not require a variance that could still be done. Maybe it's a wider lot, but building could be done still in an appropriate way. Maybe kind of we're hearing concerns about parking, and I know, you know, we're a transit-first city, but there are obviously very real concerns about parking that have been raised here and the height and compatibility with the building. So at this point, I'm not inclined to grant the requested variance. I would take the matter under advisement if you can look at other alternatives that probably don't require a variance, but we're probably leaning more towards denying the variance request. And so if anyone would like a copy of the decision letter, please sign in on the far sheet. But at this point, I'm more inclined to deny the request and have the project sponsor look at code-complying alternatives more heartily and come back with some alternatives. Thank you.
Moving to item number 6, case number 2015-010621 VAR, 20 Maywood Drive, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Jim Slavoy. I'm the architect representing the owner who's here today, Renee Larson, and this is a project at 20 Maywood Drive. Our project is to request a very small area for this variance. It's in the rear of the property, and the total square footage of the variance is approximately 92 square feet. It's a very small triangular portion. Again, it doesn't show up on in color here, but it would be the green area on the drawing here in that corner. And the justification for the variances are several. The lot configuration that exists now is very unusual. It's a trapezoidal shaped lot. And the house was also sited originally not parallel to the street, which forced the original house back further on the lot. So we're just hoping that the with those considerations, and also just the fact that the original the house still has the original kitchen size and bathrooms upstairs, so the owner is seeking to really modernize the whole house in the process. The owner is here as well to answer any questions, but that's basically our request.
Great, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item, and we're on item number 6 for 20 Maywood Drive. Is there any public comment? None? So seeing none, I don't really have any questions. I mean, I concur with the arguments raised in your variance application. I mean, noting it very clearly is an irregular lot, both at the front and rear property lines, and that is an exceptional, extraordinary circumstance that justifies the granting of the variance for the modest improvements to the kitchen area. So I'd be inclined to grant the requested variance and close the public hearing.
Thank you very much.
As mentioned earlier, case number 7, 2015-008296 VAR for 2850 26th Street has been continued to April 24 variance hearing. Moving to item number 8. Case number 2015-007008 VAR, 1141 Dolores Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, ma'am, you also have 5 minutes.
Okay, just a moment. I'm Marianne Ewing, and I'm the owner's representative. I'm with Beach Hill Studios, and this is for a proposed deck remodel replacement at 1141 Dolores Street. And what we're requesting is a variance due to missing on the first floor deck. We've got a upper deck, our second story deck, first floor deck, and the subfloor deck. And first I'm going to talk about the first floor deck. In this rendering, 3D rendering that we've created, we're showing that what the issue has been is that on section 136, the requirement is that there is a 5 foot wide setback on both sides. And we're able to meet the requirement for the south side, but we're not able to meet that requirement on the north side due to, if you can see there, that this is the apartment below this lower level here, and this is the one unit of the residence above, and that if we were to do that 5-foot setback, we eliminate the bedroom for the apartment below, which creates a hardship for the owner not being able to rent the space, and the other is that it would take a rental space off of the market for San Francisco. On the subfloor deck, we're into requesting a variance for the rear yard because we are set back. We encroach into that by 2 feet 11 inches, and that is due to that the house itself, I'm not sure this is going to show, the house itself, no, that's not going to do it, is set back by 19 feet 4 inches from the front yard, from the front lot line, which is very atypical for the street. And I'll show you here. Here's the front of the house. And it's this house here. That's 1141. And then the setback you can see here by the neighbor. This is the next door neighbor to the south. And then you can see that we've got quite a setback, which is not typical for the San Francisco or for that street. And then we designed the steps, the wooden stairs here, this stairwell, so that there's ease of use. It's quite a trek up and down this at the moment. And this way there's a landing, a place for people to take a rest as you're taking out the garbage and whatever you're doing, and also to be able to enjoy the open space and allowing possibly a connection with your neighbors, because as you can see, the neighbors have a deck next door. So I think that's it.
Thank you. And the graphic, which the staff did show me this week, was very helpful. Thank you for providing that. I see that unfortunately the plans that were provided don't detail that adjacent stair structure. So does the proposed stair structure not extend any further than the adjacent stair structure? Is that the proposal?
You mean the adjacent stair structure?
Yeah, so because you know, one of the arguments I could see looking at this rendering is that the proposed stairs, it replicates a feature that's found on that adjacent property. But unfortunately, the plans, I didn't see the adjacent stairs shown at all in the plans. I mean, this is why we requested additional information. And so the rendering is helpful, but I still don't quantitatively know how it compares to the adjacent stair structure. So do you?
Oh, okay. There is a. We've kind of analyzed where it looks like they're sticking out about 11 feet 3 inches, and their house already sticks out further. So
right.
I think we're extending 2 feet 11 inches into the rear yard setback currently. I mean, with this design, excuse me. And it looks like that's the difference. That's kind of what we analyzed. We took a photo of it from the side. Is that the side view that you wanted to see?
Wanted to see how, I mean, on plan view, so maybe it would be updating the plans that you have on file to show the full extent of the building on the adjacent property, showing the rear stairs, because they don't, at least the plans, the existing site plan that I have now doesn't show that. But the photo is helpful as well to confirm that that's a kind of a blind wall. But
blank, and then deck, which when we originally did this, when we're looking at it, you're always seeing a solid wall. So when we went back and analyzed it, we went, oh my gosh, so there's that deck right there on the neighbors. Is that what you were questioning?
Yeah, just because on the plans, it doesn't, the plans that I'm looking at, they don't, the entire structure of the deck structure on the building next door is not shown.
Yeah. And
so,
we updated that.
So I didn't see.
Yeah, so we're showing it. We have taken a guesstimate of it.
Okay.
And so that's how it's looking to us, is that it's sticking out about 11 feet 3. It's shy of where this proposed one is.
So you would encroach a couple feet further, but even that doesn't show the full extent of the stairs on the adjacent. But what you're showing is...
No, we did not put on those stairs. Their stairs. We just showed where the deck is.
Okay, so that's the deck. So the, this, because the stairs that they have encroach even further.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, thank you. Well, we'll see if there's any public comment. Have you had any discussion with that adjacent neighbor about the project?
No, we did the neighborhood meeting, and we've done all those things you requested, and nobody's asked us anything.
Okay, great. We'll see if there's any public comment now.
Okay,
thanks. Is there any public comment on this item, on item number 8 for 1141 Dolores Street? Seeing none, I think part of the variance request is the infill, or the kind of the modest expansion of that room, which I think is fine. I know that we had discussed maybe two alternatives for the stairs. I requested that you look at the spiral stair, and I know that's not the preferred alternative, but I think what would be helpful for me before I make a final decision is just to, on the plans that are submitted, have the entirety of that building next door. I mean, you know, estimated to the extent possible to show what the correct site conditions are.
So you think, so trying to figure out where their stairs stick out so we know where that final post
just,
is.
Just showing in relation that your proposed stairs seem to be kind of confirming what I believe to be the case, that the proposed stairs are kind of consistent with that of the adjacent, but having that on the plan to confirm would be great.
So we're extending similar distance.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So if that public hearing is closed, taken under advisement, requesting that additional information, but otherwise would be generally inclined to grant the variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 9, case number 2015-004771 VAR, 2643 to 2645 Folsom Street. Rear yard and exposure variance is sought. You have 5 minutes also, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Troy Kashanipur. I'm the project architect. I want to hand you a letter of support from an adjacent neighbor immediately to the south, the lower level. We're here today seeking an exposure and rear yard variance. Here with me are the owners, Vicky and Jean, who can answer questions about outreach and discussions with the neighbors. Before I start, I want to note that the plans have been scaled back since the notification period. They have been scaled back to eliminate the third story and the roof deck. So currently we are proposing a two-story rear yard structure. The owners seek to provide an additional dwelling unit on the property conforming to the RH3 density limitations. The addition of a unit onto the main building through a vertical or horizontal addition presents practical difficulty in that it would require a complete upgrade to the existing building and would displace their family. The building was constructed in 1885. It is a Class A historic resource. The required setbacks required for an addition, a vertical addition, would be significant, and I think it would make a vertical addition practically and functionally impossible, at least to create a family-sized unit. It would require a foundation replacement where there's not an existing crawl space, stair reconfiguration, causing the alteration and diminishment of the existing units, the addition of fire sprinklers, and other associated upgrades. It would essentially require a complete gutting and reconstruction of the existing building, and this presents great practical difficulties in a building that is listed as historic. There is an existing 16-foot by 16-foot one-story structure in the rear yard. The structure was previously used as a substandard dwelling unit up till 1993 when it was removed by a permit. That wasn't in your package, but I could provide you with that information showing the permit to remove it. The neighborhood historically presents a pattern of rear yard dwellings and structures Going back to the 1905 and 1913 Sanborn maps, while all of these do not remain, some do remain, it illustrates how in the past the city has been able to accommodate a growing population within the urban fabric. Currently, there are two significant rear yard structures, each two stories high, housing dwelling units within a two property radius of my client's property. These are very close in size to what we are proposing. I'll show you a couple of photos. This is one property away. It's a building on fronting Treat Street. And then this photo shows the 16x16 structure, and then you can see behind, also fronting street, is another two-story cottage. It's a little difficult to see in this image, but I can provide that to you in addition if you want to see a different copy. Here's a 3D view, this being the subject building and these being the adjacent parcels. The proposed building is modest in size, 22 by 25, or 550 square foot per floor, approximately 1,000 square feet. The proposal is consistent with the generally stated intent and purpose of the planning code regarding the preservation of mid-block open space, where a strongly established pattern exists. Where the pattern is inconsistent and where there are existing structures, the intent of the code is to allow development consistent with the established pattern. We've done a shadow study looking at shadow impacts on adjacent parcels, which we could furnish to planning staff upon request. I'll address any other concerns that may be raised during my rebuttal period.
Thank you, and thank you for the revised plans that reduce the height of the structure.
You're welcome.
See if there's any public comment on this item, and we're on item number 9 for 2643 to 45 Folsom Street.
Please approach the mic, sir. You have 3 minutes.
Sanchez, I'm the neighbor from 940 Treat, kind of behind them, a little bit to their left. About 5 feet of my yard runs into their yard, let's say. And looking out my rear view windows, I see these trees and the back of these houses are all set back about 75 feet from the fence line. I have about a 35-foot yard myself. So it gives us quite a bit of cushion space. It, you know, saves us from noise and just general, you know, problems, you know, with neighbors. I've owned that building since 1985, and I didn't see anybody living in that cottage until 1993, which is possible they did. You know, I can't always look in my backyard and see who's there. But at this time, I'd like to say that, you know, it kind of hampers our view having a building there. Right now, we have a view of, you know, trees and things and a wide open space, which, you know, makes living in the, you know, confined areas comfortable. You know, to move a building in our backyard would be, you know, unsightly. I also have a letter from... one of the neighbors also saying that she would like to maintain the open space. I'm sure you can't read it from there. But just says that she's... the building away would take our peace and tranquility we experienced in our backyard when we garden, barbecue, and play with our kids in the backyard. So it's a family operation. You know, people live there with children. They use the backyard, have a basketball hoop, as you can see in one of the pictures there. So we'd like to maintain it just the way it is. If they want to build, let them build up against their building maybe, but we'd rather not have something in the backyard. We'd like that cushion space between our building and their building. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we did receive some comments from one of the neighbors on Treat who had a tree in their rear yard. I'm assuming is that the property adjacent to you, or is that
sure.
your property? Okay.
That would be the property to my left side.
Okay. Thank
Sorry.
You. So any other public comment on the item?
Actually, I have something to submit.
Sure.
Got a report from an arborist.
Sorry, I have to peek in the mic. I did see the email this morning, and I haven't had time to review it.
Okay, but, cool. So my name's Emily Keeler, 942 Treat. And so there's a submission. The findings basically were just that it would be impossible to replace those trees with like-kind trees. So got the fig tree and the bottle brush tree. Given the scope of that project, those trees are going to die if they move forward with it.
Sorry, and I don't want to disrupt your time, but tell me, understand.
Okay, just to give you a rundown of the yard, we've got a fig tree and a bottle brush tree right up against the edge of the yard.
In your yard.
In our yard, exactly, yeah. So if they move forward with that project, the excavation that they plan on doing will absolutely kill those trees, which would be fairly injurious to our property.
Okay.
So any other?
Do you have any photos? Is that in the arborist report?
In the arborist report, yeah.
Okay. And do you have an extra copy to give to the project sponsor? Have you submitted it to them?
I emailed them in July about this, and they didn't respond until a couple days ago. So it's been tough getting in touch with them.
Were you invited to a pre-application?
I was. I couldn't go, but I did try and get in touch.
Okay. And is the arborist report something new?
Or? It is new, yeah.
Okay. All right.
So
thank you.
Thanks.
Is there any other public comment on this item on 2643 to 45 Folsom Street?
I live right next to them. I'm the owner downstairs. Mom's the owner.
Excuse me, ma'am.
You have to speak to the mic.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks.
I live literally right next to them. I'm the home right here. And my concern is we're a family. It's a family home, and we have kids there. My daughter plays in the backyard. I don't know how comfortable I would feel with someone literally living right in front as we walk out of our backyard. Not just if they build something very high like that. There's also this other building on the other side of me that's really high that you've seen earlier.
Yeah.
So I'm really gonna feel crowded in. I have apartments literally next to me, the unit in the backyard there. If they build something there, and there's trees everywhere. So I feel crowded in. I'm not gonna have that much sunlight. I know they probably said they're gonna do a shadow light, or they did. I had never seen one. I don't know. And it's different once the building is up to where, realistically to see the light coming in. I don't know. That's my fear. It's already dark as it is right now. I have hardly any. It's really dark in my place. Hardly any windows. So that's my main concern. I don't recall anyone living there in 1993. We've been there for several years. I don't remember anyone living in that shed. I don't know how there would anyone live there. There's no bathroom or kitchen, so I don't know.
Thank you, sir.
And I spoke with a few neighbors. They are concerned about the place. An addition being there. I don't know who would support. To want be okay with that, any of the other neighbors, because everybody was concerned about it.
So, just to be clear, so you're the property to the north, 2639,
yeah.
37,
yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment?
Yes.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Luis Vasquez Gomez, and I live south of the property that's going to be built. One of the major concerns is the light, and also there is a proposal to build 117 units to the south, my south side, so we'll be totally encroached in that place. We use a lot of our yard, especially it's like a community place. There's a lot of people that come over every 2 months. We do an event, a cultural event that's been happening for the last 13 years. We also do a lot of ceremonies, and that would be one of my issues with people living right there next to us. And I feel like we've been using that space for a long time, and just somebody will come and build next to it, and then it will become an issue for them. And I think the art should be used for, you know, for enjoyment. And I feel like just by building this place next to us, that quality of life will go down. And also, I think it's in terms of the property value, it will go up, but in terms of mine, it will go down because of the building next to it. It's not very kind of helpful for if you're trying to sell something. So that's one of the major concerns. The other thing is that when we do events in the back, sometimes we do fires because we do ceremonies, so that may be a concern for them, you know, and also privacy, you know, because the building will be right next to us. And as now as we live on, there's already an issue with privacy because we can see each other all the time. So that's one of my major concerns.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on the item? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Thank you very much. I guess I'm a little surprised at the number of people who have spoken and come in opposition because no one has contacted me we had sparse attendance at the pre-application meeting, and one of the speakers who came here said that it didn't, and spoke against it, said that they didn't have any problem with it, and so I'm a little surprised at that. The homeowners have reached out to all of the adjacent neighbors, and so some of these issues, the tree, we knew were on the table. The neighbor immediately behind the existing 16-by-16 cottage with the fig tree. This is a picture looking at down from the roof of the cottage at that tree. This cottage itself has an existing foundation. That foundation itself is recessed into the ground. Hard to know without demolishing it, but you take one step down into the cottage. And then I suspect the foundation probably goes down 18 or 24 inches, which is not significantly more than any new foundation would need to be recessed. So it is highly unlikely that we would impact major roots of the tree. The owners have offered to have an arborist come and do an assessment. I know that when they do an assessment, they analyze what percentage of roots may be cut, and then they look at the age and lifespan of the tree and make a decision. So we haven't seen that arborist report. We are happy to look at it and bring it, you know, have a opinion from another arborist or work with them on this issue. It's certainly not their intent to damage these trees. And I have seen, you know, many buildings modified or constructed near an existing tree without damage. The proposed dwelling doesn't have any windows on two adjacent properties. It looks back towards my client's buildings, and the windows that are there are, you know, minimally sized for light and air requirements. They're not expansive, and except at the ground floor where we have a large sliding door. So we would, you know, work to minimize privacy concerns. Our proposal did show one fire-rated window onto the property to the south, but that's negotiable, and we're happy to eliminate that. So, we're happy to answer questions.
Thank you. So this is a new dwelling unit, and I think kind of in the last case, you know, we support new dwelling units where appropriate, and this alone is not going to solve the housing crisis. There is a pattern here, I think, as you stated, and kind of an unusual pattern that to actually have two-story accessory units at the rear of the lots. So I can see that there are findings that can be made for the variance. The issue with the variance is that you have to meet all five findings. And I think one that I have concern and some trouble with is the possible negative impacts on the neighbors. I mean, one, I just don't think we're ready to have a decision today because there's obviously new information here regarding the tree, impacts on that. There certainly could be ways to design a foundation that is not going to impact the roots of the tree. And I mean, I think there needs to be more discussion here, so I don't think this is quite right. But the unit that is being added is presumably going to be a rental unit. Is that what the
intent? That's what the intent, yes.
Okay. So with that, I mean, sometimes we take these under advisement, have the parties meet and discuss, but in other cases, maybe better just to continue this. I mean, how long do you think it would take to sit down with the neighbors, hear the concerns, make necessary modifications? You've already responded very quickly, and I appreciate that, to department concerns about that third story and removing that. How much time do you think you would need?
I think, you know, my schedule is open. I think the owners are willing and able to have time, so we could, as quickly as the neighbors would want to get together, have another discussion.
So we could have February 24th. We have some space on that calendar. I think at this point it would keep the public hearing open, would continue it 1 month to February 24th, and making clear kind of where I'm coming from on this. I do see that there's a pattern of these structures in the rear. I think that there can be an appropriate dwelling here, but the concern is the impacts on the neighbors and the impact on the tree and reviewing that, the impacts on privacy. This is going to be a rental unit, and that gives you more flexibility in terms of the overall design. You're not satisfying specific needs.
Wait, to be fair, this is going to be a rental unit because I did ask them that as well, and they blatantly told me it wasn't going to be a rental unit. So can we get some correct information here?
Well, so, I mean, we can't have it's discussion like this. But.
My understanding was that it was family use or rental, so they have extended family. That was my understanding.
I think a part of this continuance is to have everyone on more clear understanding of what the project is, what its impacts will be, how to modify this. It sounds like maybe there's been an openness and willingness to communicate, but maybe the communication actually hasn't happened for reasons that are unclear to me. So I'm not ready to make a decision at this point. But again, I do see that there could be justification for a variance here for adding a unit, but would want to see how you can reduce the impacts on the neighbors.
Yes, sir. We'll work on that.
Thank you. So we'll continue this to February 24th, and public hearing will remain open. We'll have another hearing on this and hopefully come back with some resolution.
Thank you.
Skipping item number 10, as this will be continued with the joint hearing with the commission and the zoning administrator. So moving to item number 11, case number 2014-003120-VAR, 4540 19th Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning. The current subject site has access and parking through the rear alleyways. It has access on 19th Street and Thorpe Lane. The current conditions of 4540 has a large industrial roll-up door. I'll put a picture on the screen. Thorpe Lane has serviced vehicle access and parking for the subject for as long as any of the neighbors can remember. When cars drive through the roll-up door, they park in the rear yard, creating a less than desirable visual effect for the existing neighbors. Continuing to access Thorpe Lane for vehicle access, rather than having the cars visually exposed in the rear yard, the proposal is to build an enclosed garage similar to the existing block pattern. The top of the garage would serve as a roof deck and a garden, which would create a much more aesthetically interesting visual for the surrounding homes. The existing block pattern. As you can see in the photo, this is a satellite view provided by Google. The houses on both 19th Street and Caselli rely heavily upon Thorpe Lane for vehicle access. Most of the houses on Caselli with access to Thorpe Lane have parking structures in the rear. 10 of the 16 have these parking structures. Almost every property on 19th Street with access to Thorpe Lane has a parking structure. Of the 16 consecutive houses next to the subject house, 15 of those have parking structures in the rear, and many of those have decks and gardens on the top of them. There were some concerned neighbors. Staff did receive 3 to 4 letters of concern from neighbors on Caselli. After meeting with those neighbors on January 18th, it was clear that their concerns focused on privacy matters. In order to mitigate such concerns, the following items were discussed. The deck would be set back from the rear of the garage. There'd be planting to help create a visual screen. And we would modify the transparent 42-inch hand railing to a 6-foot fence made of a non-transparent material. The planner was provided notes showing the details of our agreement, and I have an extra copy with me if you haven't received it yet. And this morning I received an email from Ellen Leonard, one of the concerned neighbors who attended the meeting and wrote an email, acknowledging that she received the sketch and that it reflects her understanding of the group conversation regarding steps to be taken to mitigate their privacy concerns. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, it's my understanding the Section 311 notification has already expired. There was no discretionary review filed during that time.
That is correct.
And then the changes that we have here, and I do have a copy, setting back the deck and adding the 6-foot solid privacy screen, that's a change from what was noticed, but has been reviewed by the neighbor. And could you forward the email that they
sure,
have, if you have a copy of it, we'll take a copy. Either way. Thank you. So with that, we'd close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the revised plans that were received today, including the setback of the deck above the garage at the rear with the privacy screen, addressing concerns of an adjacent neighbor. And we can move on to the next item.
But do you want to hear both the item 12 and are they related, item 12 and 13, the Rutledge Street?
Oh,
You want to do it simultaneous? Or one?
I think we can hear them together in any public comment. We can maybe.
Okay, so we're going to hear both item number 12, 2014-1282V, 35 Rutledge Street, front setback variance sought, and also item number 13, case number 2014-1283V, 37 Rutledge Street, front setback variance sought. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning, Julia Catalano with Ruben Junius and Rose, representing the project sponsor. So I'm going to make a couple of very quick points, and then the architect's going to show a couple of plan pages, and we're both available for questions. What I want to address is the construction aspect, the new construction aspect. We have a couple of very unique factors that create a really true hardship here, despite the fact that we are a new construction project. And those factors have really nothing to do with the project or the project sponsor. We only need variance from the front setback requirement. Otherwise, we are fully code compliant, which includes the compliance with the Bernal Heights SUD requirements, including the mass reduction. So the hardship that we have, it is created by a couple different things. One of them is the condition of the adjacent properties and the location of those buildings, one of being at the rear. Hardship is the topography, which includes the sloping. We have a lateral slope, and then there's also sort of a significant drop from the actual sidewalk street to the actual front of the property. So it would make it quite impossible for us to comply, for example, with the parking requirement if we had to provide a front setback. And then the last item really is sort of the relatively small lot size. These are approximately 1750 in square footage and approximately 70 feet in depth. So would make it very, very difficult if we comply with both the rear yard setback and the front setback in terms of the footprint. So I'll let the architect show a few plans.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Matthias Troitsch. I'm the architect. I want to show you quickly a drawing of this neighborhood because this really does affect the neighborhood. What's interesting about our sites, 35 and 37 Rutledge Street right here, is that as much as they are officially on Rutledge Street, they really face Mullen Street. They're the only lots on this block, which is a stair street, actually, 50 foot wide, that has parking requirement and even accessibility for cars. So that puts a special hardship to it. I'm going to zoom in. Here are the sides, 37 and 35. Let me turn this around. Maybe that's easier. Again, you see Mullen Street heading right onto the building side. And all the adjacent buildings, in fact, are providing no setbacks. They are, if you would, strictly speaking, violation of Section 242 for 35% setback. So what we're proposing is actually moving the buildings based on the topography and the parking requirements all the way to the front edge of the site. And in that sense, sort of providing more the urban context of Mullen Street, if you really look at the street context, all the buildings are really close on Mullen Street against the street. So they have pretty much no front setbacks. That way, we can also provide the rear yard setback. And I'm going to show you another one. Small projector. So we here's a theoretical building site that we can develop if we would provide the 15-foot setback in the front and the 35% setback in the rear, which leaves us with a 25 by 30-foot footprint, plus the rather difficult approach for parking. So our proposal would push the buildings all the way towards the edge of Mullen Street. It has actually an existing very wide sidewalk right here at Mullen Street. So by setting it back, that would furthermore set the buildings back, by the way. So here's one other view. Does that work? Yeah. It shows the buildings, a little hard to see there, but it shows the two buildings currently a dilapidated carport and an old building that is also unoccupied already for 3 years. It used to be family building as well. So the topography, I'll go into one more detail about that. I have 25 seconds. It's a site survey shows it probably best, maybe hard to see, but we have a lot that is very deep here. Here's the neighbor's lot. There's the house right here. By setting the building to the front, we actually provide views and space on this side, and this side is 8 foot down from the street. So that's all I have at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment? And we are hearing together items 12 and 13 for 35 and 37 Rutledge Street.
Hi. I'm Mitch Meyer. I'm the...
You need to be on the mic so we can record you.
Oh, all right. Thank you. I'm Mitch Myers. I have the house above both of these properties. So just a little bit about when I bought the property, there were dirt roads and there was a trail to my house. So now there are roads on both sides and a staircase in front. The reason I'm concerned is the variance moving forward actually adds almost, from what I looked at on the plans, a complete wall across the side of the property. So that's my concern. I don't know the exact height, but I believe it's above all of the windows I have on that side of the property. I do want to compliment the architects on the style of the property and adding actually peaked roofs and so forth. But also, when I looked at the plans, while it says that the property just below mine is only 3 stories, it looks to be in the plans to be a 4-story building, but that may be because they're not considering the master suite in the attic area as a floor. I don't know. But what I would like is actually not to have a full wall across that property. So that's my concern.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Have you had any discussions with the project sponsor about your concerns and how that facade may be treated?
So. I have talked with the Bernal Design Committee.
Okay.
The only other concern I have is actually I have an 11-foot wall that drops down onto their property, so I'm a little concerned about the construction, but I assume they'll have insurance and all of those sorts of things. The other probably one concern there that we have a parking issue. Once those properties go in, we will lose one half of the street from parking.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Good morning. My name is Redmond Lyons. I actually own the property at 25 Rutledge, the one underneath. And just so that you know, this is the first notice that I got about this development. Now, I'm not in any way opposed to development on the lot. My comments probably will affect my project, my property on the lower side, because if the project is set back, it drops. It blocks more light and air from 25 Rutledge. My concern is more about the stairway, and I don't know if it has been addressed or not. You know, a long time ago, I put in the stairway, built them on Franconia Street and the openness and that. If you come down the stairway from the top, coming down to those projects, this development, you will hit a 15-foot wall about 40-foot high on the right-hand side that's going to completely block all, what would I call it, the usable and the views from the stairway. I know the views from the stairways aren't protected or anything, but I think it will have a big impact as you come down the stairway. As regards setbacks and, you know, being below street level and difficulty with construction, that's what we do. I'm a contractor. I don't see that as an issue at all in the city. So I'm sort of torn on how this should work, you know, whether it should be set back or whether it should be left to the front, and it's a decision you'll have to deal with. But I just want you to know what I think about it. Thank you.
I appreciate that. So, and maybe if I can summarize, so you would generally be supportive of having it to the front of the property for its impacts on your property.
Yeah, but when you come down the stairway, I think it will have a major impact on the use of the stairway coming down from the street above.
On the view.
On the view, on that 15-foot that's frontage on all those houses coming down the stairway.
Okay.
So
that's a valid point. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. Is there any other public comment? You already spoke, though.
Go ahead. Approach the mic so you have 3 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Terry Milne. I'm a member of the East Slope Design Review Board. We had a meeting about this more than a year ago, and we got comments from several neighbors. One of the main things I remember from that meeting is the people behind these lots were very concerned about their back a retaining wall and fence and so on, because of the neglect of these lots over the years created a problem. And I presume from listening at the meeting that the design was going to take that construction into account whenever this project got completed, so they wouldn't have to worry about that. I know the other thing about views and windows, we heard something about that at our meeting, but from the review board standpoint, there's some things we can't take care of. That's your job. And I just wanted to let you know that there was a neighborhood meeting, and several people attended it to look at these plans, and that's all I really have to say.
Thank you very much. Is there any other public comment? So, sir, did you have a question that you wanted to add? Okay. So with no other public comment, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Thank you for the comments. Sorry that not all the information got out to all the neighbors. Regarding the first comment about the west neighbor, we understand we're building a tall building, but in fact, setting it to the front, we believe that that is beneficial to that building. I'll show you an elevation. It shows in the dotted lines the west neighbor to the building. What we're doing is we're setting down the building actually with the deck. We're putting it way behind the 35-foot lot line. If you imagine that we develop this line right here, this line right here, which we could technically, we would actually block more views and light to the east. So we've done our best. The other part I want to also add is that this part of the building is set back by 4 to 5 feet. We're not adding windows there for privacy reasons. We have only one window on this side. There's a staircase going up, so we believe that also actually complies with the mass reduction requirement of the Bernal Heights Section 242. So we believe we're providing a well-balanced design that actually offers light and air and privacy to the neighbors. And it is part of densification, I think, in a city, providing space for new families. When you look at the current site, of course, there are views. There are views across the building because the current building that is slated for demolition is literally sitting in a 12-foot pit below the other building. So I think urbanistically that's not what is desirable. I want to respond to the other comment from the neighbor on the east side. I understand the staircase, the views will be gone. And again, I apologize, we didn't have more contact there. According to our survey, actually, that staircase is on our property in part. So it is in violation, but we are willing to leave it as it is. And I show you one more rendering. We're keeping actually the building on 35 Rutledge, much smaller in volume. Here's a rendition of that. 35 is this building, 37 is this, facing the street. And there's a staircase going up on the side, again, providing space, air, and light to this neighbor on the side. And here's that staircase in question. So you'd be going down there. The views, of course, are gone, but that is a reality, I think, in the city, and nobody can claim a view from a public staircase for his own property. So I hear the comment, and we want to make it peaceful and amicable with the neighbors, but I think that's something that's impossible to avoid.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I appreciate that you have taken steps to articulate the facades facing really both of the adjacent properties to the east and to the west. Have you done any analysis of views and how they may be impacted from the public right away?
We've done multiple renderings. I've done obviously site visits, looked down, taken photos of the whole site, and looked around how the approaches to the buildings as well, which again kind of confirmed to us that we should have a building that's set right at the street. The way that they're situated right now, and also the comments from the neighbors in the rear, actually part of the building falling into the yard, really prompted us to bring the buildings forward to the street and make this really part of the Mullen Street fabric and make that transition between Mullen Street and the Stair Street.
Okay. And then the top step, you know, basically the landing of those stairs on Rutledge, it's going to be right at the driveway or the garage door for 35 Rutledge. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Have you taken a look and tried to anticipate safety concerns? I mean, they're single-family homes. I mean, it's not going to have a high volume cars coming in and out, but...
Yeah, actually, we'd rather do fewer cars than more. And Section 242 requires us to do 3 cars on 37 Rutledge, but we're replacing one actually, thanks to section 150E with bicycle parking. And I'd like to take out more, and we're providing bicycle parking. And but at the moment, that's our requirement, code requirement.
Okay.
Fulfillment.
Okay. Thank you. And I didn't see in the file kind of photos or and maybe I missed them about showing the potential or lack of impact on the view from the Rutledge Street. So could you, is that something you could forward to our office? I think that'd be helpful for us to have as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
So with that, I close the public hearing. Generally inclined to grant the variance. I think that the project sponsor has made a compelling argument regarding the topography of the lot, its location, kind of at Rutledge and Mullen, and balancing the various code needs. But I will be taking it under advisement at this point. I would like to see a bit more about the potential issues for the impact on the view corridor. It's a public right-of-way, and under Prop N and the general plan findings under 101.1, we generally look at protecting views from public open space and parks, but you know, the stairs, the staircase streets in San Francisco are quite somewhat unique to us and quite desirable to maintain the qualities of those. So I would like to have a little bit more information on that and potential impacts of the property before making a final decision. I would also encourage you to discuss the details with both the adjacent neighbors. I think there's obviously you're going to have logistical concerns, but also the siting and making sure that those are things that can be compatible with the neighbors and not have an impact. But again, taking it under advisement at this point, requesting some additional information, particularly on the views, and close the public hearing and move on to the next item.
Okay, item number 14, which will be our last case, item number 15 has been continued for undetermined date with the commission hearing. So item number 14, case number 2015-009539VAR, 1126 Dolores Street, rear yard variance sought. Sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Mr. Zoning Administrator, good morning. I'm Phil Rossington from Rossington Architecture. This variance proposal consists of a minor intrusion into the required rear yard space at 1126 Dolores. The house was built in 1912 as one half of a duplex ostensibly modeled on Charles Rene McIntosh's Hill House near Glasgow, Scotland. The two houses sit well back on the lot with the front walls about 22 feet behind the neighboring adjacent house street walls. So the house in question is already within the required rear yard setback, as are all the houses on the block. Our proposal is to rebuild the small two-story extension at the back, as well as extending it on the ground floor by 41 square feet, which is shown in that little block right there. The small addition will allow the kitchen to be redesigned to function efficiently and allow better access to the rear yard open space. We've met with the neighbors, the only one affected by our project, the neighbor in the matching house to the south at 1132 Dolores, has seen, understood, and given their blessing to our design. And as part of the improvements, we're also removing a previous rear yard extension to the north side of the back wall, which was a glass enclosure for a basement stair and deck above. Thank you. Available for questions if you have any.
All right. Thank you. And the Section 311 notice expired on January 7th. The no discretionary review requests were filed.
That's correct.
My understanding. Okay. See if there's any public comment on this item. And we're on the what is going to be the last item number 14 for 1126 Dolores. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, I'd close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting, as was noted, there is a somewhat unusual front setback situation here, which has pushed the buildings well into the required rear yard. This is an existing condition, which is being rebuilt and enlarged somewhat, but very well and consistent with the residential design guidelines and meeting the five findings necessary to grant a variance. Public hearing is closed, inclined to grant. That is the last regular item.
Last item.
Item number 15 has been continued to a date unknown, to a joint hearing with the TR. We will have general public comment if there's any public comment on items that were not on the calendar today. Seeing none, we will adjourn this hearing and reconvene on
February 24th,
2016. Thank you.